Hi, everybody. Welcome to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Nicola.
I'm Vlad.
I'm Mark.
So we have a new person today.
Yes.
Most people watched Ping last week, and hopefully they heard the news.
Yeah, so we're consolidating some of our news shows. We want to get you the best information with the least amount of watching possible. So we're bringing some of the shows together, bringing some of the content together, and we'll be rotating our hosts around so you get a good variety, and so we can consistently get shows out when some of us are unavailable in our day jobs.
Like me.
We want to make sure we get the best of the best, and we improve as we go. So I think we can just jump into the news.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's get started.
Well, the biggest thing on news today was Havok, right?
Havok is awesome. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Havok is actually a family of different game engines. Or like, basically, it's not just about games, but most developers are using it for games. It's famous for Havok physics engine. Yeah. It's broadly used across different products and even movies, right?
I think if most people have played any games out there, they've probably used Havok in some way or form. Or if they've watched movies or TVs, they've actually kind of seen Havok in action. It's probably one of the most famous physics engines, engines out there.
It's crazy that it blurs the lines, because I was mostly aware of it for the physics part, but you just said like they have an Emmy. For being from like in movies, like the blurred line between virtual the realities that are created for games and movies and everything is all like part of one now.
And they don't just have one Emmy; they have a constantly won an Emmy for past 6 years or something like that. That's crazy.
And they have AI engine, they have graphics engine, so it's great that Havok is now part of Microsoft. We're gonna have all these stuff in our products, and I hope developer tools.
Yes.
And developers have more access to more tools, so it's always good.
Cool.
So if you're in game development, definitely take a look at this. I think before we get into the store, I mean, it's getting kind of crowded.
Yeah, I don't know if this is actually working.
Okay, I'm going to leave this time.
Sorry, Vlad, but I mean, you don't have a laptop, so I think we should leave. I think we should change
my laptop.
Around.
Yeah, like, why just change host? What's actually, like,
I can't help me. We got to go.
That was great.
Oh, that's much better.
This is different.
A lot more space for activities,
welcome,
I think.
Welcome to our little private room here with our beautiful posters. And we won't let anyone in through that door. Don't ask what's in that
very
door.
Very homey. I don't even know what it's back there. Golna said not to go there.
So yes, we have a little bit of new setup for This Week in Channel 9 for you as well. So hopefully you enjoy. Let's continue on. AzureCon. AzureCon just happened.
AzureCon, yeah, it was an awesome event. I mean, we had a lot of cool speakers, a lot of cool developers, a lot of cool partners coming on talking about all the new Azure stuff. We had a lot of announcements.
A lot of things. The cool thing I thought was the GPU capabilities in VMs.
Yes.
Like being able to program on straight on there. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, go straight into a Bitcoin miner, but that's kind of the first thing that comes to mind.
Kind of get expensive too if you do
that.
It would be. Yeah, but it's one of the most requested features, I think, for years now to get that. So the new N series uses the NVIDIA capabilities that we've had. I think that's also one of my favorite things. We also had a lot of cool stuff around IoT. So we had a whole package around IoT. We call it the IoT Suite. So we can actually buy that. You can have all kinds of stream analytics going on, saving to DocumentDB, having all these different cool frameworks around built around IoT devices. So if you're into that, I think it's amazing that you can just buy it out of the box.
We also announced the general availability of HD Insight on Linux. And HD Insight is our implementation of Hadoop.
Yes.
So if you have big data ecosystems out there, you can roll that out on Azure as well.
It's pretty cool. I mean, if you do any kind of container stuff on Linux and Windows, I think it works pretty good.
Yes.
And so if you missed the whole event, I think you can just watch the whole thing now on Channel 9. We have all the recordings. It's pretty cool. So you can just click right after this video and just dive into any of the sessions that were announced there. I know most people want to watch Scott Gyu and see all the announcements. I know I did that.
For sure.
So it's pretty cool.
There's also a quick link to a PowerShell script, which will download the videos for you. So you can watch them on demand or offline.
Yeah, if you're a developer, you'd want to use the download script and don't go to the browser. Nobody uses browsers these days. It's all about the apt-get and all
Who
about...
Who watches video on the web nowadays?
Just download everything. Or on your phone.
In the world of MVPs, do you know any MVPs?
I work with MVPs every single day. It's like they do all the work that we do so much more meaningful and better. They do a lot of stuff for us.
These are Microsoft valued professionals. Yes. And they are partners with us in lots of things we do. They help us out in early forms of software. They give us great feedback. They help us get the word out there for the good things we're doing. And we have just announced 987 more.
Almost 1,000 new MVPs, yes. These are guys that spent the year being focused on our technologies, being able to help us answer questions on forums. I think they've answered over 1 million questions in the past year. For just on many different technologies, on Azure, on Windows, on everything. There's Office MVPs. There's MVPs on everything. They're kind of Microsoft employees, but they're just really passionate industry professionals.
It's insane, a million questions answered. That's insane.
It's crazy.
That's all I got.
Actually, it's 100 million. That's pretty cool. Sorry, just reading it there. It's 100 million.
It's a lot of zeros.
Unbelievable.
A lot of zeros. Yeah, doesn't not compute, honestly, in my head.
Continuing on, Skype Translator. Now, if you haven't heard of Skype Translator, it's been beta for the past several months.
Yeah.
And it's the ability for people to talk in different languages over Skype, and Skype automatically translates between different languages. So if I'm talking English, you speak in Spanish, we can talk
to
each other.
And we mean speaking. This isn't just text translation.
No, this is just speaking. This is voice.
Which is like watching Star Trek.
Yes, you have the communicator on there. Yeah, you have it on there. You can speak in your Klingon. Which is, by the way, supported.
Is it?
It is, but it's in writing.
Oh,
so
man.
So you can write in Klingon, and you can translate for it. It's pretty cool. Well, it's now actually public. So this whole Skype translator is now public. It's part of the Skype Windows experience.
If
the desktop Windows client, this is enabled.
Awesome.
So
I need to make pen pals in other
like
countries.
Spain
now.
Or China or wherever this is supported.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
If you've been following our updates, we've announced at E3 that we will be updating the Xbox One dashboard experience. It is the new Xbox One experience. This is something that happens across our consoles, dating all the way back to the original Xbox and the long history of the Xbox 360, where we constantly updated the Xbox One since it came out. Every month you've had an update, new features. We will talk about some of them here, but the new interface has been rolling out to preview members has now been rated the fastest interface amongst these next-gen consoles.
Yeah, it's cool. I was reading about this. So Kareem Anderson, he spent a lot of his private time going through and just testing, cold booting the machine and just testing to see how long it's going to take for me to start a new game, how long it's going to take for me to start a new party, etc. So he tested both Xbox One, the original experience, the new preview experience, and also the PS4 experience. And according to him, Xbox One, the new experience, is by far the fastest.
And if you look at his graph, it's a huge improvement from what we had.
It's a huge difference,
and that's probably my favorite part, is the fact that this is, I can't believe it's been 2 years since we launched Xbox One.
It went so fast. It's crazy.
And again, every month there's been updates. We've been slowly chipping away at things, adding features. I'm really looking forward to jumping into groups with friends, getting those achievements up faster, because I love my achievements.
And Cortana is also available now, too. So if you have the preview, or you will get the preview soon, you can actually use Cortana now on your Xbox, the same Cortana that we love and know. It's pretty cool. Actually, speaking of Cortana, I don't know if you know, but there's actually a new post talking about how Cortana gets its wit.
Yes.
I know, it's pretty cool. So Oliver Fuh, I think that's right, Fuh.
Sounds right, right?
So he talks about all the people that actually are behind Cortana's wit, the people that spend their time teaching Cortana how to respond to other people. They call this the human interaction of Cortana. It's pretty amazing to watch how people do this.
And this is like when you ask Cortana to tell you a joke or if you want to go on a date or some other silly questions, that it has that interaction. So it doesn't feel like this cold computer you're talking to, but your own virtual personal assistant.
And I was reading about the people that are actually working on this. It's amazing to see their education and history and to see all the stuff they've gone through just so they can be able to understand the human, I guess, physiology and how they can answer all
right.
these questions.
Right, and it's funny. I thought you think this is something that you just kind of tack on at the end, but they said in there that there's 14% of interactions with the Cortana are non-functional in nature. It's purely conversational. So like 10, 15% of the time, people are just trying to talk to their phone and enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere, I forget where it was, but they said there was a huge number of the time is people just asking for jokes.
Yeah.
Cortana says, tell me a joke, and Cortana will just tell you a joke. Just pass the time. It's pretty cool. Anyway, if you want to learn how to develop for Cortana on Windows 10, or just Windows 10 in general, we have a new beginner's guide by our own Clint Runkes, Bob Taylor, Andy Wiggly. They have a whole new thing on Channel 9 now, a beginner series.
The Absolute Beginner Series are some of the most popular content on Channel 9. Bob Tabor does some excellent content. And if you are not familiar with the Absolute Beginner Series, it literally is an Absolute Beginner Series. The first one will guide you into installing the software you need, talk about the overview. And I think this has 80 posts in it. It's extremely long series. It goes into detail into pretty much every scenario you'd want to land. So if you're interested in getting started with programming, or if you're an expert programmer, you just want to learn more about Windows 10 development, go ahead and jump on that.
Absolutely. And if you just want to learn how to work with Cortana and make her say some things that it's not available in the platform,
add your own wish.
There's a video for that. There you go. Yes. Extend Cortana. And we released the Universal Windows platform in July, the same time as Windows 10, and we already have an update for the new tools, for the Universal Windows platform tools. Lucian actually goes through what's exactly new. Some of the coolest things in there are the ability to actually, when you package your application, to make it a lot smaller, and I'm talking about a lot smaller. Like if you create just a simple example application, goes down from 5 megabytes to like 1.3 megabytes. It's really crazy.
Which just increases everything, right? Like loading, download, updates.
Perfect. Yeah, they talk about if you download now an app from the store, you have to download all of the UWP .NET core APIs with the app itself. Now they're doing something smart with actually packaging it up in the system itself. You can download it once and share it across.
So more of a shared library system. That makes a lot of sense. Like I totally understand you want to have kind of like an ODLL hell or anything, but if you can manage that appropriately, especially on a system that's more controlled, you have a lot better chance of getting both things out of it, performance and stability. Now available, the Visual Studio 2015 ALM virtual machine with hands-on labs and demo scripts. So for those of you who are not aware, we occasionally produce these virtual machines that you can get, and it's this little like lesson in a box, essentially. Like I said, there's hands-on lens and hands-on labs and demo scripts involved. And this is for all the Visual Studio 2015 application lifecycle management stuff. So everything surrounding your development cycle, from creating projects and workflows for work items, to check-ins and branching and merging and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, this is great because, I mean, if you want to learn something, you can read about it and you can watch videos about it. But these virtual machines, which are, by the way, done by Brian Keller, our own Brian Keller, who everybody misses, they're great about just diving into real scenarios. You know, what if this is what you're doing at work and you want to actually see how this works? You can try it out yourself, download this virtual machine, and just do it. You know, it's actual exercises.
And not have to worry about messing up your own TFS enlistment or your own code or anything, because everything's sandboxed in that VM.
So if you break something, just start from the beginning or just revert back. It's really awesome. Now, we do a lot of cool stuff in Microsoft, and we talk a lot about those cool stuff, but there's actually a new virtual tour online about Building 87. And for those that don't know, and I didn't know actually.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It is. But Building 87 apparently has a lot of cool, crazy stuff that's going on in back there behind the scenes. They do things such as industrial sewing machines so they can do smart fabrics, a human-sized light box. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it sounds so, I don't know, Back to the Future, just in the future. Just the future part. It's amazing. So there's a whole virtual tour. You can go in, you can dive in, you can just look around, see what's going on. It's pretty cool. Cool. And finally, I think we're around the end of the show. We have our picks of the week, so I'm going to start with mine. My pick of the week is actually an amazing feature that in JavaScript. Now, in ECMAScript 7, actually ECMAScript 6, I believe, is coming up. Well, it's something that the Edge team implemented ahead of time. This is just a proposal, but they actually implemented the async await pattern in JavaScript. So just like you can do it in C# async await, it works the very same way. You mark a function asynchronous, you use the await symbol, await keyword in there, it waits. It's very similar and very powerful.
Especially if you're coming from a managed language, you're used to this power. JavaScript had promises before, but that's a completely different format for doing your code. So this lets you use your existing knowledge in a great way. And JavaScript, I mean, obviously just works everywhere. So
it does. I mean, it's probably the most versatile language out there. It's now even on IoT devices.
Yeah.
It's been for a while, so it's pretty cool. And David does a really great job on actually walking through the problem of starting first with callback and then using promises and then just teaching you about why asynchronous programming actually is better than the previous model.
Oh, absolutely. Blocking code just creates bad user experiences, and today's technology is so powerful, you shouldn't be doing that to your users. So,
and just for readability reasons, it's so much better.
My pick of the week, you may have heard this past week, NASA had a big announcement. On Monday, they announced the they have found flowing water on Mars. And this is something that we've kind of like theorized for a while, but the proof that it's there, and it's coming from these strips that they see from these photos, that they actually can tell that the flow of water has come down over time in like recent time. And that means that there could still be life in that water. The water's super salty, they're saying, so there's minerals and there's everything else. And if there's life there, there's all sorts of possibilities, right? Like, that would literally mean there are aliens out there. Even if they're microbes or bacteria or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
They would be.
And that could mean that it can sustain life and that we can maybe eventually go visit or maybe even live on Mars. I think
yeah,
it'd be amazing.
Elon Musk had made a, I don't know if it was a joke or a suggestion to if you nuked Mars, you could warm it up enough.
Oh, really?
We could be
I didn't
on
know
there.
That.
I don't know how sustainable that would be, but.
You might have to wait for the radiation to kind of go away.
Right,
a
right.
Bit, but
yeah, I'd want to be in my suit for a little while after that.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a new movie coming about Mars.
The Martian, yes.
The Martian,
that
so
soon.
I think that's going to be pretty cool. Might be real. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't want to get stuck there.
Yeah. So I think that's the end of the show. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Please let us know what you think of the new format. We're trying something out and want to make sure we get the best for you. Thank you, Mark, for joining the team and
Absolutely.
Bringing
Thank
all
for...
the great content.
So Thanks for having me.
And I think we're going to have some awesome shows in the future.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Thanks, everybody.